gonna ask everybody to stand to your feet. I'm gonna read the word before we start. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I please have monitor of this off of 1 and 2, please? I'm gonna ask you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. Can you guys hear me out there? Okay. John chapter 11, verse 1 and 3. I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation. I have found it to be my favorite translation. It's just so loving, so specific. There's no guessing. I just love that version very much. And those of you who have your Bibles, awesome. Those of you who do not, we have the translation on the screen. It says like this, and we're going to be jumping several verses here, so please bear with me. John chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. It says, in the village of Bethany, where there was a man named Lazarus, and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary was the first who would anoint Jesus' feet, was the one who anointed Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dried his feet with her long hair. One day, Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. So his sisters sent a message to Jesus, Lord, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, is very sick. Please come. Now let's jump to verse 17. We're going to read 17 through 23. Now when they arrived at Bethany, which was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Somebody say 4 days. Amen. Many friends of Mary and Martha had come from the region to console them over the loss of their brother. And when Martha heard that Jesus was approaching the village, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, my Lord, if only you had come sooner, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know, somebody say I know, that if you were to ask God for anything, he would do it for you. Jesus told her, your brother will rise and live. Jump to verse 43. Then, with a loud voice, Jesus shouted with authority. Somebody say authority. Lazarus, come out of the tomb. Then in front of everyone, Lazarus, who had died 4 days earlier, slowly hobbled out. He still had grave clothes tightly wrapped around his hands and feet and covered his face. Jesus said to them, unwrap him and let him go, let him loose. Now let's jump to chapter 14, verse 12. I'm going to ask everybody to say this together. If you can, please look at the screen. John chapter 14, verse 12. Ready? Read. I tell you this timeless truth. Stop there. Timeless, meaning no expiration. It's a truth that will never cease to exist. Continue. The person who follows me in, believing in me, will do the same mighty miracles that I do, even greater miracles than these, because I go to be with my Father. Father, we thank you for this word, Lord. We thank you because we know that your word is truth. There is no lie, Lord, in what you have written in your word and what you have pushed in your word, that what you have inspired in your word. Father, there is no lie. The word of God says that you are not like man that you should lie. Father, so we know that the word, Lord, that we have just read is complete truth. So this day, Lord, we humble ourselves. We give way to the supernatural. Give way to the Holy Spirit, to the Spirit of truth. Lord, I declare that this day, every word heard and every word spoken be in line with the word of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody say, amen. Amen. You may have your seats. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you bear with me just a few moments, I want to impart some truths that were given to me as I studied this word. Solid truths that helped me to endure. The subtitle of this message is Words of Truth. Now to recap, last week our pastor spoke on step into God's plan. He painted a picture as to how much our words matter. What we say matters. The effects of what we say can truly affect our surroundings. It can manipulate something that was or was meant to be great to something of less caliber, of insignificance. It is something that is powerful. Our words have meaning. What matters is what we say. What we say matters. It was also stated that on the day that we said yes to Jesus and were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth, according to Luke 10:19, all authority and power was handed over to us. I said all authority and power was handed over to us. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, we were given the power to cause heaven to come down. On Romans chapter 4, verse 17, we were given the power to make things come into existence. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, we were given the power to speak life or death. And in Matthew 18, 18, we were given the power to bind or to loosen. That authority, that power was given to us. On the special day that we turned our lives over to Jesus and were filled with the Spirit of Truth, we were given the voice of authority. It wasn't just something that happened that came and went. It wasn't just a moment where we felt goosebumps in our body. It was something of impact to the supernatural and to the natural. It was a powerful, powerful moment. It is the same voice and authority that caused the sun, the moon, and the stars to exist. The same voice of authority that's given to you is the same authority that caused things to existence. It is the same voice of authority that spoke light to become, and it was. It's the same voice and authority that spoke the barriers between water and land. It was the same voice and authority that caused the daughter of Jairus to raise up from being dead. It was the same voice and authority that when a man named Lazarus was dead 4 days, that voice was in front of the tomb speaking to a lifeless body saying, come forth. It's the same authority that you and I have. It is in you. A body that if we look at the conditions, it would make us doubt that could ever bring back life. Imagine dead 4 days. When it comes to death, there are 4 stages that happens to the body during the time of death. Within these 4 stages, there is a timeline of things that happen. At this time, Lazarus was dead for 4 days. If we look at the timelines of these 4 natural stages of death, we will see that within the 3rd and 5th day, the body starts to bloat and blood containing foam leaks from the nose and mouth. The body starts to disintegrate. Between the 3rd and the 5th days, the body is no longer the same that it was when it was living. Things starting to move, starting to happen in the body. In the natural standpoint, there is no way
A body that has been dead for 4 days can rise up for the dead, much less be normal. Because of the words that were spoken to Lazarus, not only the words that were spoken, but also the words that were produced that caused this man to raise up, that caused this man to get up. See, what matters is what we say. But not only what we say, but what we base our words on is what matters. We can speak all the positive things we can in the world, but unless we have a foundation of when we speak, those words will either work or they won't. But one thing we can rest assured, that when we speak truth based on the gospel of Christ, we know for certain that those words that we speak will come to pass. It will happen. Because it's not us that are thinking these things, but it's the word of truth that is going forward out of our mouths. We are speaking prophetically of what's to come because we speak the word of God. Now, there are 3 points I want to share with you today. First point is, it is our words based on the word of truth that will cause things to happen. We must utilize our voice based on the words that Jesus said. We can speak positively. We can even say, I'm sending positive vibes. I don't want your positive vibes. I'm sorry to say, I don't want your positive vibes. Your positive vibes won't do nothing for me. I want the word of God. If I'm ever going through something, you can keep your positive vibes. I want to hear the word of God. Because it's only in the word of God that we will be lifted up. Because it is truth. We must be in line with the word when and while we express our voice. In order for our voice to have the power to cause things to be, we must follow the time, the line of what the word says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. It says, if I speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in heavenly tongues of angels, yet I don't express myself with love, my words will be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than clanging cymbals. If we do not speak with having the word as our foundation, we are taking the chance. We are gambling with our lives. We are gambling with our lives. But if we speak with the word as our backing, standing on what it says and speaking those things out, we can rest assured that the things that we speak will come to pass. They will come to pass. Why? How? How do I know this? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Every single word in this Bible is breathed out by God, is inspired by the living God. As I said before, He is not a liar. He will not lie to you. He will not trick you. He will not tell you something and say, nah, never mind. His words are true. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, For the word of God is living and active. These are not just any old word. It's not any old book. It is alive and well today. Just as it was in the early times, in the early days, it is alive now. It will never cease to live. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 says, every word of God proves true. Matthew 24, 35 says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. There is no expiration to the word of truth. There is no expiration to God's word. It will never stop. It will never go out of date. It will never cease to exist. It will continue on. Even till I pass away, it will continue on. Even though you're not here, it will continue on. Your children and your children's children and their children will experience the power of the living word, because this is the living word of God. It will never cease. And nothing will ever stop it. There ain't no government in the world that will stop the living word. There ain't no devil in hell that will stop the living word. living word. There is nothing in this world that will stop the living word from going forth. The Lord will always make a way. He will always make a way for the gospel to be preached. It is a prophetic word. It is in the word that every word, every place needs to hear the gospel before Christ comes to the earth. That already tells you nothing will stop it from going. Nothing. It is the word of the living God that will hold true. It is where we should base the foundation of our voice, the foundation of what we speak. My question to you is, what are you speaking? And what are you founding your words on? What are you speaking? And what is the foundation of what you speak? Are you speaking truth according to the word? Or are you speaking according to what you think or what people think? You know what? I don't care about what the society says. I don't care about what the government says. Yes, I will obey the rules as God says. I will God obey them, yes. But when it comes to going against the word, I'm sorry. But this is my law. This is what I believe. This is what I go with. I will never go wrong. The Lord will always be with me. He says He will never leave me, nor will He forsake me. You want to know where that's true? Because I am filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the proof that He is always with me. He will never leave me, even though I don't feel it. The proof is in the pudding. The pudding is the Holy Ghost. Deliciously delicious inside of me. Hallelujah. I know His word is true. The second point I want to share with you today is what we speak would only come to pass if we believe in faith. Luke 17, chapter 17, verse 5 through 6. And again, this is the Passion Translation. It says this. Upon hearing this, the apostle said to Jesus, "Lord, you must increase our measure of faith." Verse 6, Jesus responded, look at this. If you have even the smallest measure of what? Authentic faith. Authentic. Real faith. It would be powerful enough to what? To say to the large tree, my faith will pull you up by the roots and throw you in the sea. And this is the reaction of what that tree will do. And it will respond to your faith. If you don't believe what you say, nothing will happen. If you don't believe what you stand on, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. You have to believe what you say. It will respond to your faith and obey you. That sickness, virus, disease, that devil will have to flee. I don't care what it is. It has to go. As long as you stand on the word, it has to go. We cannot allow the enemy to overcome our lives. We cannot allow the enemy to come and do whatever he wants. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Ah, siga labante. Ora mante singa la montororo sita. Woo-wee! Hallelujah. We cannot allow the devil to get in the way. Mas ahora. Mas ahora. Mas ahora. Oye, ahora. Mas ahora. Oye. Ay. Oye. Ahora. Ahora, más, ahí, Por eso ahora, ahora será, cuando lo haré ahí, oirán de mí, ahí van, todo va. Oh. Ay. Mm. Oh. Sigo yendo, ahora, por eso, ahora será. Toda. Ay. Toda. Déjala. Dale. Ahora. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, before I continue, I must say that when the Word of God goes forth, I cannot control what language it goes forth in. So, if anybody here speaks Spanish, that first is receive it if it's for you. It will not stop. It will go forth. It will not stop. It will go forth. There is no limitation to the anointing of God and how it speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue. Our pastor says, the only part of the Bible that will work is the part that you and I believe. Is the part that you and I believe. So what does that tell you? Mark chapter 5. Verse 21. There are two stories I want to share with you in these verses. The first story is about a man named Jairus. Jairus had a daughter who was sick, who was at the verge of dying. He came to Jesus urgently, begging him to come and lay his hands on his daughter, begging him to come and pray for his daughter. And he said that I know that if you do, she will be healed. But at this time, Jesus was interrupted when he was on the way. Interrupted by a woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years. The Bible says that when he was walking, a crowd gathered around him. And when he gathered around him, when they gathered around him, the Bible says that he felt a tug, not physically, but he felt a pull. A yank off him. The interesting thing about this situation is that when he felt that, he asked, "Who touched me?" The interesting thing about this story is that there were many people touching him. There were many people hanging on him. The disciples asked him, why do you say that? There were many people pulling on you. But there was something different. Something different that happened in this situation that affected Jesus, that pulled him to the point of he focused his attention to that woman. And then we read the story. She said something that was profound. Something that was amazing. She expressed complete truth. She said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Speaking truth, there was no doubt in her heart, mind, or her whole being that she would be healed because of her faith, because of the fact that she stood on what she believed. The Bible says that Jesus said, because of your faith, you are healed. Because of your faith, you got what you asked for. Now, and Jairus, before Jesus could continue to walk to Jairus' house, messengers came to inform Jairus to not bother Jesus anymore to go to his house, because his daughter was already dead. They went up to him and said, "Don't worry. Don't bother Jesus anymore. Your daughter is dead." In Mark chapter 5, when the Lord turned to him. He said something that caused Jairus to make an impacting decision in his life. At that moment that the people told Jairus, your daughter is dead, Jairus had a decision to make. Jesus turned to him and said, do not be afraid, only believe. At that moment, he had a choice. He could either go with what was in front of him or stand on the word, believe. He could either go with the circumstance that was visible or stand on the invisible. He had a choice. It was a decision. If you think about the situation, he still had a ways to go. He still had to go to his house. You can just imagine his mind. If we would think about it the way some of us think, he would be in a state of roller coaster. Is it going to happen? Is he going to live? I want to stand, but I'm not sure. What's going to happen? I don't know. If we look at the outcome and examining the outcome of the word, we can believe that during the walk, he made a choice. A choice was already determined to believe. All hell broke loose in his life at that moment. But instead of allowing the circumstance to dictate the outcome, he gave in to believe in the spoken word of the living word. He gave in to pay attention to what Jesus said versus what was said on earth. Versus what was declared in the natural. Matthew chapter 11 verse 24 says, Whatever you pray for, if you believe, you will receive. Mark chapter 9 verse 23 says, all things are possible for those who believe. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 says, we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, in the Passion Translation, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. We have to believe in faith. It doesn't matter if we don't see it. It doesn't matter if it's not in front of us. We have to stand and believe it in faith that those things that we are waiting to come to pass will come to pass according to the word of God. It will happen. The third point I want to share with you today is do not let the enemy steal what is true. John chapter 10 verse 10. This is out of the American Standard Version. It says, the thief, in other words, the devil, cometh not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I came, that they may have life, and may have it abundantly. God is not about halfways. He's not about just a pinch. He's not about just a little bit. He's about the abundance of life. He's about the abundance of living. The enemy knows his ending. The enemy knows his destination. He knows the truth already. Because of this, his plan is and has always been to make you and I not get into a place of knowing who we are in this world. His whole purpose is to make sure that you and I do not know who we are in this world. He has come to steal the truth and kill your belief. I remember when I got baptized, 1995, I believe I was 13. When I got baptized, I made a decision to give my all unto God. And at that moment that I came out of the waters, I was filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues. And I was the happiest kid I've ever was. But the enemy came and bombarded with me with all kinds of things. And I will admit that I gave in to it. A young kid, I didn't know better. I allowed the enemy to come to my life and destroy all that I gave to God. It was in that time that I went sunk to the lowest of my life. But when the word of truth came to my ears and entered my heart, when the word of truth came inside me, it brought life to this dead soul. It brought life to what the enemy thought he had in his hands. See, the enemy put me through some bad stuff. I went through some very bad things. But when God came, all these addictions to cocaine, the addictions to alcohol, the addictions to everything you can imagine, when the word of God came into my life, those things were no longer in existence. Now my addiction is in the word of God. Now my addiction is in the holy word of truth. Now all that I am is standing on the word, speaking to my Father daily, giving time for Him in everything that I do. Once the word of truth entered in me, and when I give way to the spirit of truth, I come to realize that the God Almighty has given me the authority over the devil, the demons. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. This is out of the Passion Translation. Now you understand that I have imparted to you all what? All His authority to trample over His kingdom. That's just talking about the devil. You will trample upon every demon before you and overcome every power Satan possesses. If you have been filled with the Holy Ghost, if you have the Spirit of truth inside of you, you have the authority to tell the devil, get! And he will go. You have the right to tell the devil, go! And he will flee. Because all the authority that it was his is now yours. Because the Spirit of truth now lives in you. And if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to get filled, and you will get filled today if you want it. The Lord will not push Himself upon you. He will not force Himself upon you. But I tell you one thing, that if you have not been filled with the Holy Ghost, this day, choose you this day whom you will serve, and you will see the supernatural happen in your life like never before. The things that you hope for will come to pass through the Spirit of truth. Amen. Amen. It says, absolutely nothing will be able to harm you as you walk in His authority. You know, there are times that I'm praying in my prayer room. I have a room that was my office. And one time when I was praying in there, the Lord told me to clear it out, to take everything out of there. But He told me, I will tell you how and when and what to take out. So as I prayed, there were days the Lord said, okay, take this out. I took it out, and it continued on like that till the room was completely empty. And then He told me, this room will now be the room where you will seek me. You will pray here and find me. So now I have a room that is specifically dedicated for prayer and study only. Now, some of you might think that is weird. Good. I made a decision in my walk. I made a choice to listen and to remove every single thing out of the way. Every distraction. Everything out of the way. To hear what thus saith the Lord. I don't have time to play games. I don't have time to guess. If I don't hear the word of God, I know I will not be successful. But I am here because of His sweet divine word. I am here in front of you today because He allowed me to be here. He gave way so that you and I can be here in this place today. Give Him glory right now. Hallelujah. It is in this room that I will not say that there are not days that the devil annoys me. The devil is real. He's real. He's not made up. There are times when I'm praying and I feel that sucker in there trying to talk mess, telling me what I'm saying is not true. Telling me what I'm believing and speaking is not true. Trying to lie to me and saying I'm sick. I have a disease. I will never make it. But I stand on Luke 10:19 saying, I have the authority inside of me because the Holy Ghost is inside of me to say, devil, get out of here. That is the authority that you and I have. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? It is the same authority power that was in Jesus. It is the same authority and power that the Lord Jesus used to raise up a man that was dead for 4 days. It is the same authority and power that lifted you up when everyone said you will not make it, that you will never amount to nothing. It is the same power that picked you up when everybody gave up on you. It is that same power that exists today. It is the same authority and power that raised us up with Him to make us to sit with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It is the same power. Now with this, I'm going to finish. When Jesus requested for them to remove the stone, why didn't He remove it Himself? Think about that. When Jesus told them to remove the stone, He also had the power for physical things to happen. Remember the story when He turned water into wine? He can change the physical. He can move the things in the physical, make things to happen. The reason why He did not do it, because the stone was something of significance. Like I said, with this, I'm going to go ahead and close. In our lives, we have to make the effort and the choice to put away our natural sense of being and remove what is in the way in order for God to do a work in us. Even though what may be found inside may stink a little, we have to be willing to expose who we are to Him in order for Him to produce life within us. But in order for that to happen, we have to move the stone. He will not force Himself on us. He will not make us do this. He will not force us to get on our knees or to open the Word of God. He will never do that. But we have to make a choice. When Jesus spoke these words to Lazarus, He was showing an example of what we should be willing to do. First, we must be willing to step out in faith, regardless of how ridiculous we or it might seem, and speak standing on the word of truth to whatever situation we face. Even if you look ridiculous. I remember we were married for 5 years, and we were trying for a baby. And I remember that one day I had to go take something. I told this story before. One day I had to take this Bible software to an evangelist that was visiting us. And when we were there, we were at Applebee's. And when I got there, my brother-in-law was with him, and they were sharing, they were just talking. And I got there to give him the software. My pastor at the time sent me to do that. And when I sat down, we talked for a while. My wife was home, and he started asking, who want to know about me. And he asked me if I had any children. I said no. And he asked, "Do you want a child?" And I said, "Yes, I do. We do." And he said, "And what happened?" So, "Well, we've been trying, but nothing happens." And he said, "Are you sure you want a child?" I said, "Yes. Yeah, we do." He said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." So he said, "Okay, stand up." This was an Applebee's. So I stood up, and we were in a booth. It was my brother-in-law, him, and I was here. So I stood up right next to him, and he said, "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay." He put his hand on my belly and started proclaiming the power of God upon me. And it was the most powerful thing that ever happened at that time. I lifted my hands and received. I received it inside me. If you think about this, if you would eat there, if you would sit there, and see a man standing with his hands lifted up in the middle of Applebee's. How ridiculous is that? It is weird. But when it comes to trusting in the Word, it doesn't matter how ridiculous it is. It doesn't matter how crazy it might sound. Because I wasn't worried about how weird I looked. We received the blessing of my daughter. And now she's in the ministry, working and functioning in the ministry, singing, giving honor and glory to God. But if I would have cared about how I looked, I still believe I believe in the word of truth, because it does not lie. The second point, we must be willing to believe no matter what the outcome is, and know that as long as Jesus reigns and sits on the throne, there is still hope. I encourage you this day, speak the word of truth, believe and faith, and you will see the victory happen. Let us stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for what you continue to do in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the gospel, the truth that was spread forth today. Lord, right now I cancel every demonic presence in this place that will try to steal away the word that was given today. Devil, I cancel every single plan against your people, against the people of God. I cancel every single attack this week. I declare the word of truth may live in our lives. I declare that the Spirit of God may go forth. That the seed that was planted today may increase may go forth. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, God Almighty. We bless your name today. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.